This episode, we get to speak with interaction designer at Co-op Digital and a co-founder of ManchesterFitness.com, Matthew Tyus.
Dessert, pizza, and design systems.
Thunder! 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 Thunder!
Welcome to Thunder Nerds. I'm Brian Hinton.
And I am Frederick Philip von Weiss. And you are consuming the Thunder Nerds, a conversation with the people behind the technology that love what they do.
And do web good. Boom.
How's everybody doing?
Fantastic. You?
A little bit better than excellent. Thank you. So today on the show, if you haven't noticed, we have a very special guest. We have, let's welcome to the show, interactive designer at Co-op Digital and a co-founder of ManchesterFinest.com, Matthew Tyus. Welcome to the show, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Like, honestly, I've been listening to your shows for a bit. I'm in good company, man. I'm in good
company.
This is
oh.
The thing.
Yeah, we have a lot of good people.
And I'm no one, so thank you very much. I appreciate this a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure. Tip of the hat to you.
I just remembered I need to put some headphones on. I literally forgot. But is it working? Is it cool?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. I mean, we might get a little bit of feedback on your end, but, you know, no big deal, whatever. Yeah, so, hey, man, what have you been up to lately? I know you're working full-time at Co-op Digital. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, I guess you guys have co-ops in America, don't you? So, everyone owns a bit of the business.
So, yeah, Co-op is kind of, I think, the start of our country, really, with the electric grid. Like, that's a big thing. Like, that's all a co-op.
So yeah, this is it. Like in England, in the 1800s, there was a group of people who got together and were like, it's not okay for the working class people to be treated badly. So everyone who buys things from our shop is an owner of the shop, right? And like, it's nice because England is, you've seen the election this week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeremy Corbyn, that's that thing of like, it's the mix between socialism and capitalism of where it's kind of nice to be nice to people, yeah? So I enjoy working for Co-op because everyone who's a member of it owns a bit of it. They own like £1 of it. And that's amazing. And it means that you can do some of the projects you do don't necessarily all have to be about making money or, you know, like, I mean, obviously some of them are because we've got to make money, but it's like an organization for good. And like, I enjoy that. I think that's good. I think that's like a really nice idea to have.
How many businesses are at your co-op, the co-op?
Yeah. So it's kind of weird because, I the co-op in England, a few years ago was really, really badly managed. And, this guy basically kind of stole money from it and everything went a bit wrong. So we sold our businesses. Yeah. Oh, it's really weird. But now we have a funeral care business, a food business, an electrical business. So like, you know, selling TVs and stuff. A legal business. I mean, that is a really weird mix of stuff.
Oh, I don't know if it's weird, but it's probably unconventional because it's such a great way to do business. You know, I was watching this great TED Talk the other day, and I put a link on our Twitter just a little bit ago from this guy named Jim Brown, and he was talking about ownership is given for capital, but why not provide ownership for work? It is just as important as money for business.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, I mean, like I always have a problem with, I think it's because of like my sort of how I've grown up, but I have a problem with stuff for the rich, nothing for anyone else. I have a massive problem with that. And I love working for co-op because you actually feel like you work somewhere where, like, what you do, like, matters. So, I mean, I'm sure you'll ask me, but, like, at the moment, I'm working on this funeral care thing. And working on a digital service that's for people who are, you know, they've just lost someone is one of the most interesting things I've ever done. Because, like, you just don't normally interact with that side of the world. And then you realize that that's a really important thing. And if you can make a digital thing that helps the people who have to do it, like, have more time with the people who are actually sad and, you know, something bad's happened, then, like, you're doing something really good. And, like, you know, it's boxes on a screen, but it's actually helping, which is a beautiful thing to be able to work on.
What is in that specific job? What are you trying to solve? Like, what is the job specifically?
Yeah. So basically, sorry, I jumped into it too quick. But basically, like, so co-op has a funeral care business, mm-hmm. but we sort of have funeral homes all around England, and they're owned by families. It's like a family business or whatever, and everybody does funerals different. And the point is that because they do it different, but they're all owned by us, so we're kind of saying, okay, we're going to go around all of you guys, we're going to look at how you do it, we're going to talk to you, and then we're going to build something that helps you, like have more time with the people who are going through a terrible time. Like, the goal of the project is more time with families and stuff like that.
Spending the time where it should be spent rather than that side of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They do loads of admin. They, like, you know, they, like, triple fill out forms, you know, so they're, like, writing a form, then they're copying onto a form, then they're copying onto a form. And, like, okay, we can build a web form, yeah, that just captures that once. And that's great. And that, honestly, even just doing that is 70% of someone, like, being, like, happier in their job and everyone's better. But so much more we can do, like, so much more. They are ringing people up going, I need a purse, I need, you know, this guy to come and do this service, I need this, I need this. And they're phoning people and they're running around trying to do it. But we can make that really simple.
Yeah, you automate it.
Yes, right? Exactly. Like, we know where the cars are. I mean, we haven't done this yet, but we could Uber those cars, you know what I mean? We could see where I'm at. I mean, obviously, we've built MVP thing. But one day, why not? And then...
Sure.
What's beautiful about all the people who work for it, and this is why I love the company, is that all the people who work for that company, they care. They care about the people. They don't want to fill in forms. Like, they really don't want to fill in forms. I mean, no one wants to fill in forms because it's really boring and annoying. So there you go.
So what have you been doing with it? I know one of the big things is you set up a design system. Is that correct?
Yeah. So this is quite interesting, actually, because it's sort of changing what it was. Like, I mean, you know, design systems, just mega popular. That's what you do. Like, that's just a thing now. Yeah?
Yeah.
But, so, the co-op, like, rebranded a year ago, and I was maintaining our old design system, which was, because literally, I joined the co-op, and I was the only person who could make the website and build it. And there's, like, you know, like, 33,000 staff. Which for me is like, yeah, totally. Like, because the old co-op used to buy design. And buying design is not a good thing to do. Like,
yeah, you get it. It's very fragmented when you do it that way.
Well, and yeah, exactly. Everything's a tiny bit different. You know, everything's slow. It just shouldn't be like that.
These things have compelling needs, and you need to tell that narrative. You need to have that consistent story.
Yeah, exactly. And you need to be able to react to exactly what you need to design at that point. And if you have a team in-house who do that, they're in it, they're part of it, and they love it, and that's what they do. Whereas if you buy design in, everyone's got a different like take on it. Everyone wants to reinvent it. And actually, as you say, it's a narrative. It's not about reinventing it. It's let's just iterate on what we've got. You know, so babe, my point is that I was like looking after this design system for a while, and then we rebranded, and it was basically a design system built on foundation, like a deserved thing. And the reason I built it on foundation, yeah, the reason I did that was because it's well documented. So I didn't have to write any documentation, you know what I mean? I'm just like, go there. That's where it is.
Exactly, yeah. It's nice to be able to have that already set up for if you have some developers that you're working with to say, there it is, look at the docs.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Perfectly well documented and tested.
Yeah, totally. All I'm doing is, you know, theming on the top of it, really. Fine, yeah. Great. That's totally great. But then when we rebranded and we had basically, this is like a bit of a backstory thing, so I might have to talk for a second here, even though I've already been talking. But... are you guys aware of like the gov.uk websites in England?
I think I've seen them before. I remember they got updated at some point, modernized. Exactly.
So basically, what happened was a group of people went to work for the government, and they like made doing anything online that you had to do for like tax or anything like that.
Yeah.
They made it really easy. Like they made it super simple. And basically what happened was, just after this rebrand, those guys came to Co-op. And like, I'm sat there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sat there as the one web designer. And they come to me and they're like, oh, right. Oh, you're trying to do like a thing here. Like, that's quite good. So at that point, we brought devs in, like, people who could do it, you know what I mean? Do it.
Yeah, so that's why you had such an explosion all of a sudden. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's it. Like, 2 years ago, there was me and one other person, and now we have, I think, 250 people. And the thing is, it's not just 250 people. It's 250 people, like, the best, like, people in the country. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, the people I get to work with now, it blows my mind. Like, how good they are.
Wow, you're very lucky in where you're at then right now. And just the things that are happening, too.
Well, I learn. Every day I learn. And everybody I work with questions. Nobody ever takes anything for granted. Anyway, the point is, so people came in. So we said, okay, we don't need foundation. We don't need all that stuff. We'll build it ourselves. It's fine. It's easy. So I work with a couple of people. We started to build like a really, really simple SAS framework, just, you know, a grid, some typography, like, but we spent a long time just like working on, I mean, the typography, must have worked for 3 months, like just worked on that constantly, get it exactly right, to have like, because Co-op as well is a very, very like inclusive organization, so it's got to be big type, easy to read. You don't want no alienation of anyone at all. So
yeah.
We spent a long time getting that just right. And, you know, if you look at it now, it looks great, but it's simple, you know? We don't even have any components. We don't have a header. We don't have, like, any, like, drop-down menu thing or anything. Because we want to do it slowly and we want to do it right. You know what I mean? And we need to spend time just, like, crafting it. And... Like I say, I'm lucky because people came in and there was stuff I'd done and they just kind of went, no, it should be like this, it should be like this, it should be like this. And also we want to base most of what we do on user research. Like, you know, there's opinion-based stuff is cool, but really what you want to do is understand what the people who are using it need to do. So we're spending, we're kind of waiting until... we get the really good feedback of like, you know, that works. I'm happy.
Sure. If you have those data scientists digest that and tell you like, actually, this is where your success is, or it's over here, and then you could start to build something off on top of that you know is proven with those metrics.
Totally. Well, this is the thing. Like, I don't really consider myself a very good designer. But what I do consider myself is that I always like to look at the whole spectrum of things that are going on. So we have user research, right? Which is just brilliant to have a whole like team of user researchers. All they do every day is talk to people who use the product, who like look at the words, who like have to do a thing. And then they come back to us and go, that's good, that's good, that's rubbish, that's good, that's bad. That's absolutely brilliant. Because then everything you design becomes easy when when a person basically tells you what it should be. Like, you don't have to design anymore.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at your the co-op design manual. And one thing I kind of like is on each page you have a feedback at the bottom. Did you find this useful? And you can answer it. And then you immediately have a text area to tell us why. Is that actually seeing some use? And who's filling that out? Is it internal people? Or
that's really interesting, actually, because we used to have like a top header at the top that said, mm-hmm. This is in development. Tell us what you think about it. But because it was at the top, like banner blindness, you know what I mean? People didn't see
it. Oh, interesting. Yeah, they weren't even seeing it.
We do I don't call them sprints because we do them quite slowly, but we do iterations on the design manual like every month or whatever. And we put it at the bottom because most people will scan down the page and then they'll go, yeah, like when we had the banner at the top, no feedback. Nobody used it.
Interesting.
When we had the one at the bottom, everyone uses it. But this is the thing at the moment, we're doing an iteration right now, but I get quite a lot of direct feedback on it where it's like, can you help me with this? But I don't know who they are. So this is the thing of like, you know, in a couple of weeks, there'll be a box that says, if you want me to talk to you.
Oh, and our email and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep it simple, but then you kind of like, it's good to kind of go, oh, yeah, I messed that up. But
well, that goes back to what you said before. It's all about building on those patterns. If you saw results that way, you see that that's what people want. Well, there you go, and you'll have even more success, right?
Absolutely. Like, the internet is amazing because it's iteration. Like, you can just change it. Like, in a second, you can change it. And, like, that's why when I was doing design at, like, art school, that's why I didn't become a print designer, because I can't change it. If I mess it up, I mess it up. But if I, on the internet, I'm just like, oh, it's wrong, I'll change it. Someone says it was rubbish, I'll change it. Brilliant. That's how the world should be. Like, oh, it's wrong, I'll just sort it out. And now you're happy, and I'm happy, and everyone's happy. Right.
I think, too, going back to what you said about, you said you might not be the best designer, but I think that's worth exploring of what makes a good designer. And I don't want to go on a tangent, but I think to make a point that one of the things that makes a good designer is being able to not have a chip on your shoulder or not have some kind of deterrent where ego steps in and says, nope, my way was the right way, cross my arms. Like, to be able to accept input and be productive about it.
Well, I mean, you basically, you're entirely right. Like, there is no, like, being a designer is not about being an artist or being, like, it might be sometimes, but to do a functional thing that works for human beings, it is not about you. You know, whenever I like speak to anyone or like I do any kind of workshop with people where we like sketch together, it's not about me coming up with a solution. It's about kind of, if that person doesn't want to draw, I'll ask them about what they think and I'll draw what they say. Right? So I'm just like a conduit for that knowledge.
That's a great way to put it. I love that.
Well, that's the point. And that's why it doesn't matter that I'm not a good designer, because, I can lay out some text in the browser or whatever, it's fine, but I don't really care about that. And I work with designers who do care about that, so that's great. We've got the best of both worlds. What I care about is solving a problem for a person who's got to do something on the internet.
Yeah.
know what I mean? Yeah. Like, go on in there. I've got to do something. I don't want to be pissed off.
Yeah, that it's interesting you say that. And you guys built a design system to basically to not make you have to worry about the type and the layout. You worry about solving the problems. And there was a recent talk by Diane Mounter on design systems, and we'll link it in the show notes, but that's what she talked about. And there were designers that were like, I got this done so fast. I feel like I have superpowers and I feel fake because I didn't, you know, design it, but they laid it out using the system and it was so rapid that like they felt like, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're solving
the problem.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it is. So the design manual, we have a prototyping kit. It's just a Jekyll thing.
Yeah, right? I saw that.
All it does is it just, you know,
platforms.
Pulls in the design manual CSS, and then you know, put your element on the page. It looks sound. What it means is you can test your assumptions in like a day. Like,
is it live reload?
There's no point, people. Yeah, we have. I mean, we need to do better with it, but we need all sorts of like exciting stuff in there. Honestly, I'm like, you know, this is the thing. Like, if you get me started talking about that, we'll be here for like a week. You know what I mean? So
okay, I'll go get a cup of coffee and some food.
I think Google has a limit on a week, so I don't think we can make it that much. Unfortunately. Let's try to if you guys are cool with it, if we could jump to another subject, which is I would love to talk about is Manchester's Finest. So to go from the co-op and probably that entrepreneurial spirit that you have, you and a buddy started Manchester Finest. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a funny one because I have to give full credit to my friend because it was his idea, and I'm an introvert guy. I like sitting here, writing some code, doing some things, sitting on my own, yeah? Well, he came to me with an idea, and, like, I couldn't ignore this idea because, like, we live in a city where there was one website that basically ran the city. And it was very, very commercial. It was very, like, every single business is on here. It's just about everything. Very kind of like sort of mashed potato bland. Mm. Whereas at that point, about 7 years ago, we'd started to get like independent things, you know, like when, you know, craft beer places and like nice little independent restaurants and all this kind of stuff started to appear. And we thought like, well, that's what people actually want to go to. Like they didn't
have any way to show that. It was just like you said, it was more that website that had more of the corporate things, like, hey, if you heard of Starbucks,
totally. It just got everything. It'd be like, oh, there's a pizza around the corner, and it's like, well, of course there is, because there's one everywhere. But what you kind of think to yourself, like, it'd be really good if I just knew about that cool thing. Like, there's a cool thing that's happened. Like, how can I find out about that?
Yeah, like the best hidden beer gardens in Manchester.
Absolutely. Exactly. And that's what's good about that one is our city is like, it's rubbish for stuff like that. Like, it's really hard to find a good beer garden. So we sent a dude out to go and find them and tell people where they are. Great. But so anyway, I basically, one Christmas, I spent like 2 days just like knocked up the worst WordPress theme you've ever seen. Like, this is before responsive as well. Like, it was like, you know, 960. Like,
oh, nice. Yeah, 960 grid system. Boom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. I've done that. Fine. Totally sorted. And I probably just, you know, every plugin in the entire world to make it actually work. And then you look at it now and you're like, plugin's like 4 lines long. Right? Just write that myself. Anyway, so it's just, what I like about it is I own it. I iterate it, I change it whenever it needs to be changed. There's no control on it. It is a business, but the web bit of it is me. Which is crazy because it's quite important that it doesn't break. Well, it's WordPress, so it's gonna be okay. You know what I mean? It's not gonna be a problem. But what's been really, really nice from like having some more connections from co-op is that I've been able to get user researchers to like analyze our analytics properly and tell me what people are actually doing, send out surveys to people and kind of go like, what? And what we realized was we did a lot of stuff that was kind of very targeted at, we thought, we had an assumption that cool people go on our website and then they go to a bar or whatever. And that isn't true. It's people from outside Manchester want to come in and have a nice meal on Saturday night. And like that's their goal. And like that a revelation, absolute revelation. I'm like, oh, okay. Right. Great.
Yeah, definitely. If I'm coming from somewhere else and I'm going to take a trip and I'm going to Manchester and I want to learn some of the cool things going on, I might end up on your website and I might take a look around and say, oh, hey, there's that beer gunner that Brian was talking about.
Absolutely. That's where all of our traffic comes from. And like, I mean, because like I say, I have a full-time job, so I don't have time to sit there looking at Google Analytics every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I did use to look at it. You see these things, I used to think, I should do some of that. But then as soon as I got a professional on it, they were kind of like, you do realize you're completely messing this up, like not like targeting people. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. So now we do stuff. And I mean, all I normally do is build bits of it to make it better. And it seems to do okay. People seem to like it. And that's cool. And wherever it goes, it goes. Like, it's just one of those things. You just kind of like, I'm not a planner. You know what I mean? I just do stuff.
Wherever yeah.
it goes. If I get it right, great. If I get it wrong, get it wrong. If I get it wrong, I'll change it. So.
Well, I think it's important for anyone in our industry to have some kind of side project where, I mean, if you don't have any kind of side project outside of work, I'm a little suspicious on that. You might not even be trying to level up your skills, but and you might not even enjoy what you do. But it's interesting too to think about it from a standpoint of starting a business where you went out and I know you said it was more your friend's idea, but you know you obviously jumped in there too and you were proactive and you guys started this. It's pretty cool to think about doing something like this.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean. The thing is, like, the fact that I'm not a planner, I'm not proactive, is not necessarily how I am now. Like, I have another friend, and we've started so this is a bit weird, but basically, wrestling in England is now really, really popular, right? But there is no way to find out about it.
Wait, you mean like old wrestling style, like Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan, or like you mean
UFC?
Like... Yeah.
You literally want me to school you on how wrestling is now.
I have no idea what it's like now. I mean, me and Brian wrestle sometimes at work, but I mean, that's different.
I'm literally going to get on the plane and wrestle both of you.
That sounds great. I'd love to do that. Yes, please, and thank you.
Thing is, Fred, I'm friends with you on Facebook, and you're always at the gym. So, like, I'm definitely going to get schooled, and like, it's not going to end well for me.
Maybe not. Who knows?
He just goes to the gym. He just doesn't do it. He doesn't do anything.
I just go and check in, and that's about it. I go by the weights, and I'm like, all right, good day. Yeah. Good day.
To be honest, you're looking pretty weak from what I can see there. Like, shoulders.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I need to go to the vet because these puppies are sick.
Oh, oh man, that's really annoying. I am so British. I've got like I'm super super white skin. My arms are about you know like they're about as thin as an iPhone cable or something.
Nothing wrong with that. I love white skin. That's what my wife got. I love it.
You know, what you probably need to eat more of is apparently there's a – I was looking at the Manchester site and you have advertisements and there's a place called D&D – Dogs and Dough, they have a dessert pizza that's a pizza smeared with Nutella topped with marshmallows and the tasty treats you had as a kid. So you can have like M&Ms on this pizza. And
I don't think
this is a donut.
Where muscles come from, though. I think that's where heart disease comes from.
What are you talking about?
Okay, if you're right, I'm down there. Then I'm going to wrestle for it.
That sounds perfect. I'll wrestle you for that. That sounds good. I'm going to take that whole thing. Hey, you know, I wanted to ask you about something, Matt. I see that you have some heavy crates back there.
Oh.
Heavy crates of records. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, so that's a weird one as well, because it might be quite interesting for you, because the thing that I do when I'm not designing stuff is I make music, and but the thing I enjoy about it is finding records that no one has. Like, that's the point, is like, it's collection, you know what I mean? It's like finding some stuff and going, no one's got this, this is going to be amazing. Sampling it and making a hip-hop tune out of it. And like, I know that the cliche of a middle-class white dude, especially from England, making hip-hop is ridiculous.
I don't think so. I don't subscribe to that. I think that's whatever. Okay, I think anybody, if you have music in your heart, then you put it out there. It doesn't matter on any of that other stuff.
You just made me feel much better, so that's great. So, like, basically, I like finding stuff. I'm like a collector. I like to find music, I like to sample music, and then I make tunes out of it. But then one of my friends from years and years ago, he started a record label, and he's a fairly well-known, like, hip-hop DJ. Goes to America a lot. Started DJing in America quite a lot, especially in New York. So he got loads of connections with people, and he started the label on the basis that we would make, we get, like, new American artists, but with English producers, to kind of bridge that gap between England and America, right?
Sure.
But the one we've done recently is it's two brothers called Conway, right? And I made a tune for Conway, and it's fine. I mean, honestly, don't get excited. I'm B2, so not even at the A side, not even the second A side, not even the first B side. I'm the last, like the very last one. Right? I'm a humble man. Anyway. So, those guys got signed by Eminem like a month ago. Big news in hip hop.
That's amazing. That's great.
So that record will be the last independent record those guys ever did. So, like, I've done stuff with some cool people, but this is like the one where it's like, wow, like this could actually blow up, because like that might actually be sought after. If they do a good album with it. But what I enjoy about it is finding stuff, making noises, just, you know, just sitting at the computer having fun, you know, like, just, I don't know, pressing colorful buttons.
What do you edit in? Are you a Logic guy or what?
So I have a machine, which is like a Native Instruments thing, like a drum machine thing. It's a bit like an MPC. I have a plug sampler. I have a keyboard thing, and I have like an old Korg synth, and I sequence it all in Ableton. Like, I am not into Logic at all. I think it is Ableton is absolutely right. It is, that's the one.
It's nice, so all right.
Cool. Right, and
I'll have to send you some of my stuff. Maybe we could do a collaboration.
We can do a collaboration, but as long as you put your muscles away, that's
fine. I'll try. No problem.
You scared him, Frederick. Jeez. I don't know why you tore it.
Like that shirt. That shirt's new. Like, don't break it.
I can't help it. That happens.
What's your drink of choice there, by the way?
Oh, I'm so we have a German supermarket called Aldi near us, which is a sort of a budget but very good supermarket. They happen to be across the road. Basically, full disclosure, I have some friends over tonight, so we're drinking a bit. But when I said I was coming on this, they were just like, I don't understand what you're doing.
A cast?
I was like, no. Like, Chris Coy has been on it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a big deal. And they were like,
yeah, and on the episode, he was on it, and then he was off it for a second, and then he came back on, and then he was off again. That was a great show. But I want to...
No idea how bloody happy I am on a thing that he was on. Like, like my favorite man... Well, no, he's not my favorite man. My favorite man is Dave Rupert. He is...
He was also on the show.
I am with you on that.
I'm gonna listen to that one.
He's my choice.
He is the genius of the internet.
It was a really fun podcast. We'll put a link in the show notes to both of those.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a quick question. Going kind of back to the Manchester. How do you go about for someone who would want to start something similar to that? How do you go about connecting with local businesses and getting the content? Do you do that yourself?
You are totally asking the wrong person. This is the problem.
It's the other guy.
I wish I could do that. I love my friend Lee so much because how he can just, he just has this manner where he can sell the benefits of a website. You know what I mean? Like a website, we've got banner adverts. Nobody wants banner adverts a lot, but they're there. Because Lee talks to people and goes, yeah, but people will see it. You know what I mean?
I don't want to do it, but people will see it. Okay.
But that's the thing, right, Matt? It's about that. There's always you want to do what somebody else does, and you know, so forth. It's a recursive loop. Like you do what you do really well, he does what he does really well, and that's what it's about.
Exactly. It's about having the team. You know what I mean? You're never going to be everything.
You can't be an astronaut, superhero, fireman. You do what you do, and you might dabble a little bit in some other things, but you have to do that one thing.
Like, I've been to space, I've put fires out, and I am also a superhero. So,
I had no idea. I didn't see that on your LinkedIn.
Well, it's because it's a lie. No, but this is the thing. Like, you have to have nothing good happens on your own. Like, no one's ever done anything good on their own. Like, it's always a collection of people. It's always a collaboration. Like, if anyone thinks they can do something brilliant on their own, well, they must be amazing if they can literally do something like that. But you know, I know how to make a WordPress website. What we bloody do? He goes out and sells stuff, but then at the same time, when the website matured, I realized that my skill was optimizing it to be good for what people want. And it's just like, you just learn as you go, don't you? Like, I've never known anything, really. Everything I do, I just learn as it happens to me. Like, I think that's what everyone does.
Yeah, you learn the best in immersion, right?
Yeah. And then just think, oh, I'm just going to do it. It'll probably be okay if it goes wrong.
It'll probably be okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I know, but what I do know, unfortunately, is we're coming to the near the end of the show. We have a last few last questions for you. I'm going to start it off. My question is the spotlight, something that interests you to discover this week. Could be anything, could be barbecue, chocolate, et cetera. Mine isn't necessarily something I've discovered. It's the new iOS 11 that I have on my iPad here. I actually tried at the start, and Frederick can attest to this, to do the show on the iPad, and it had failed. Unfortunately, I can't show the video and show
it's
the
not official
Google Doc.
Yet.
Yeah, I think once the apps... What? I'm sorry?
iOS 11 is brilliant then.
I think once the apps are updated to take advantage of the multitasking stuff, it might work. We'll see. But that's my pick. Frederick?
I was also going to pick that, but not really. So there you go. My thing is usertesting.com. One of my buddies reminded me about this at work the other day. And I totally forgot about the website, and I've never actually went as being a user tester, so that's one of those things I want to try out. She was telling me about how she went in and signed up for it. And, you know, you fill in your demographics and they give you a bunch of things to test. And I think that's so valuable, not just for them, but I think for anyone that's looking at testing your own things. And you could go through and get a little bit of experience on what kind of interfaces do what kind of things, and you'll you might build up a little bit more context in your own work.
Can I give you a cautionary tale though? Cautionary tale, usertesting.com, is that you get people who sign up for that thing who they're serial testers. That's what they do. Like, mm-hmm. they're not like, they're just there going like click, 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 click. So they get their like $1 or whatever at the end of it.
You might get a lot of that to what you're saying. To the credit of that is that you might get a lot of people that are just doing that just so they could do something at home and make a few dollars.
I'm talking about
just doing it for like yourself though, not you know talking about their product. Yeah. But I think it's pretty interesting to take that on yourself and try it out.
I actually did use it at work, and I got some actually fairly good feedback. They were talked throughout it while they were testing it and said what their thoughts were as they were using it, and it was insightful actually.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like I always
depends
say,
who you get. Yeah,
I always say pick the right tool for the time and what you need to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
if you test them on paper, talk to someone, or if you know limited budget, you do what you need to do to get some insight. Like, all insight's good. It doesn't matter who it is. So I think it's completely fine.
Too. All right, what do you got, Matt? What do you got for what's your pick? Something.
All right. This is completely avant-garde.
Yeah.
I've got the Korg Volker Keys, which is excellent because it is a synthesizer that Korg have. It's the circuit from the old 70s synths, but in this tiny little box. Yeah, tiny little.
That's
box.
Beautiful. So it's how many mic inputs did that have? I didn't see. Is it just the one?
It's, plug in there. It takes batteries, man. You can take it on the train and stuff.
What? How many batteries? What kind of batteries?
I just put it in my pocket and just walk around.
That's crazy.
Like a John Carpenter. I just walk behind people going, like I'm on a John Carpenter film or something, which is great. That was my thing. I think that is an excellent piece of technology.
Where can someone find that? Can I go on Amazon and just do a search for that?
Yeah,
they have it
there. Amazon. Yeah. £139, which is probably maybe, I don't know, $160.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. All right, yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I have two questions for you, and I think I'll skip the one because I believe if I always ask people, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? And I think your answer is probably music, unless it isn't. And a lot of people have at least a good, and Brian might argue with me on this, but I think 99% of the guests that we've communicated with always talk about that they had some kind of transition from music to design or music to development, what have you. But I could see that that's definitely one of your loves. So let me ask you my last question on here. And it's a question that some people could find relevant because of life experiences that they have with just, you know, getting older, things happen. But some people ask, what's your favorite color? And you say, well, I like red because of this. And you describe what you see in yourself. Or some people say, what if you could be any animal, what animal would you be? And it's you're kind of describing what you would like to be. I would like to be a bird because I would like to fly. And that's kind of saying that you would like freedom. But what I'm asking you is, basically, what is your vision of heaven? When you die, what do you see? What's your heaven?
That's a good question, right? Ah, God, I didn't prepare for this one.
Good.
This is going to sound pretty weird, but my life is pretty good. Like, I have a lovely wife. I have a really nice house. I enjoy what I do. I'm happy. I don't think there's a thing that's better than that. Like, I'm okay. Everything's okay, and that's fine. And, like, I don't think I can wish for anything more than that. Because
when you're happy, you have everything you need.
Well, I think it's it'd be a little bit. I just think it'd be a bit sort of mean of me to want anymore because what I've got is really good. Like the world's messed up, isn't it? So how dare I want more than what I've got? You know what I mean? Like I'm cool, man. I'm in heaven, basically. There you go.
I love that.
I've got a question for you guys, by the way.
Sure, yeah. Brian's 4 foot tall. If that's your question.
So I'm not quite sure how to ask this question.
What?
It smells like peanut butter. What?
Yes, I do.
That's his fault. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like Thundercats.
Like Thundercats.
So if you were a Thundercat, but you had to mix that name up with code, what would you be called? I've already thought of some, by the way.
I'm sorry. Yes, maybe Brian got it, but I didn't understand the question. So
sorry. I apologize. It's all right. Shall I just tell you what I've come
up with? Yeah, that will provide context.
So, okay. So Mantra,
right?
Mantra, but with man. You
know what I mean? Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
Mantra, right? That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this is my favorite one: Lion Node.
Fuck, that's really good. That's really good.
I knew the question would work, but I was so happy. I've been sitting this afternoon thinking of these, but I couldn't work out how to ask you the question, so I apologize. But,
yeah. No, that's good. I like that.
I don't think I'm going to have a clever for that right away. Let's hear it.
No, I like Lion Node. I'm going to take possession of Lion Node.
Oh, I thought you would have went with Chitara. I thought that would have been more you, but...
Or Lion Node.
I have the thicker. Although I don't know, JD has a thicker mane, so
yeah,
he might be more the lion now.
I was trying to come up with something for Panthro, but I Panthro. Oh, mother farmer, that's pretty good. I like that. Yeah,
it's not great. It's not great, but it was all I could.
I'm gonna have to really think about these later on tonight as I sip on good old potato juice.
That's everyone who comes on, like. What Thundercat code name have you got? You know what I mean?
Like that. Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot.
Panthreckle? No.
Oh, nice. Yes.
That's kind of good. It's not bad. I mean, it sucks a little bit, but no, that's pretty good.
I mean, it doesn't roll off the tongue, but it's good.
It's no Lion Node.
Yeah, it's not Lion Node. I mean, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I like that. Well, hey. Matthew, thank you so much for being on the show. It was an absolute pleasure having you on. A lot of insightful tips and some cool takeaways. And I really didn't have all the context of what you've been doing, so it's great to catch up.
It's wonderful for you to have me, man. I'm really, 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 like, humbled that you actually wanted to speak to me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. No, absolutely. Especially when there's people that actually do honest work and love what they do, that's who we want to talk to.
And do it good.
It's honesty. I just want people to not be annoyed when they're on the internet. That's what I want. That's all I want. Oh, look, I've gone on the internet. Everything's fine. That's all I want.
We're going to have to start an intranet, and we'll do that. Some private intranet club. I think that's picking up. I heard about that in 1997.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
If you have a question or topic you'd like us to discuss, send us your text or audio questions at connect@thundernerdsho.com.
Also, hit us up if you're interested in sponsoring the show, and don't forget to pimp us on iTunes with a like or review.
I like romance novels. They have happy endings.